5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm John Miglosh for the Wisconsin DMA and the International Society for Strategic Marketing. Hello out there in marketing land. And let's start with Tom Fishburne. I always like it when he makes it for Monday morning because, you know, then I don't have to worry about things to do, right? So here we go over to Tom Fishburne. Let's see what he has to say. It says, the next big thing in marketing, okay? And, you know, round about November, December, I give my what's new for the next year, and I've got it pretty much nailed, you know, because I'm coming up on, I think this year will be my 40th year in marketing consulting. I started in September of 1981, which doesn't mean that I know anything, but it does mean I've seen a lot go by. And so I can pretty much guess what the next year will bring, and that is more buzzwords. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, and so Tom focuses today on the next big thing. This is the next big thing in marketing, according to something I read that someone wrote on Twitter and some other people retweeted. Yeah, that's about where we're at, right? And you can find me on Twitter, at JRMiggs. But anyway, there's a perennial search for the next big thing in marketing, which can distract from getting the basics right. I recently rediscovered Eat Your Greens. I'm going to go looking for that because it sounds like a good thing. It's a thought-provoking collection of essays by marketing thinkers edited by Wiemer Schneider, looks like, in 2018. He kindly peppered in a few of my cartoons between the essays. The book includes a sharp piece by Mark Ritson, always one of my favorites, on some of what ails Mark. Tomorrow we're going to do Mark, a speech Mark gave last week that's been summarized, so we don't have Mark Ritson's excellent word choice, but we do have someone talking about what he said. And this line, this is from Mark's article in the Eat Your Greens book. Most marketers are more focused on the cool new stuff than the concerning lack of clarity or discipline in our field. I wrote to John today, who asked me about what I was. Oh, you know, I don't even remember all the words. Big words, lots of words. We got connected on LinkedIn, and he sent me a message full of big words. And I hope he's tuned in, John. Happy to comment if you're tuned in. And I, you know, I was trying to say to him, boil it down, simplify it, and tell me what you're offering. I'm sure it was a canned paste, cut and paste from him. So make it simple. Anyway, marketers have always been the magpie discipline. We steal good stuff from other approaches and bring them into marketing as our own. But with so much stuff around these days, it's perhaps not surprising that marketing has become filled to the brim with nonsense. And we try to deal with nonsense here today. Every day, we try to call out the nonsense. And while this distracting ephemera continues to occupy and obfuscate the marketing masses, we love big words too, don't we? We are shifting further away from the tenets of marketing that have served the discipline so well for so long. And as always, I recommend a quick read, Claude Hopkins, Scientific Advertising at scientificadvertising.com. I don't get anything from it. It's just, if you're in marketing, that's a good place to start. This is not a plea to ignore the new and favor the old. Rather, it's a plea to beware of throwing out the strategic principles of marketing with the new tactical bathwater. Okay, and here's some stuff, more stuff from Fishburne. This year will be all about AI, yes, and podcasts and nano influencers and social commerce and blockchain and voice search and live video. Shouldn't we talk about our strategy first? And then another guy, the guy who started it all, says, anyway, this will also be the year of VR. I remember when I downloaded the Pokemon app and my kids said, you can't do that. You're old. Well, have you done it? And they said, no. I said, well, I walked around trying to catch those little monsters. I was really good on the intro pack, but once it got to the real game, I was a disaster. I couldn't get anything done. So anyway, I uninstalled it. Shiny object syndrome. This is one of my very favorites all time of Fishburne. We need to stay focused on our marketing priorities and not get distracted by every shiny new, look, squirrel, That one, that one's worth reading Fishburne. Here's another good one. We got an A-B split, clear choice. A kills B. Not so fast. We also have to take into account my extensive marketing experience selectively ignoring data like this. Okay, anyway, that's enough of that. A lot of good words here from Tom Fishburne, who was at P&G for a number of years and really knows his stuff. Okay, I just wanted to thank Deanne Campbell. I talked about one of her articles last week on sustainability in retail and some of the challenges that retailers face and how they may grasp at the idea of promoting their performance and sustainability and other causes. And the danger in that is that the causes shift gears. For example, should we be worried more about plastic straws, right, or nuclear power? Which one should we pick? And it can change on a dime. So you have to be really careful about how you analyze that. And so she wrote a really nice, she retweeted or reposted on LinkedIn, and she said, I confess it's a tad apprehension-inducing to have an article I wrote dissected on live video, but John made it interesting and connected my points around sustainability in retail to broader truths on the manufacturing side in a fresh way. I found his approach to news and trend coverage so good, I've added him to my regular coffee and news routine. Don't miss it or you'll be sad. And I just thought that was so nice. And we got some likes on that. Always nice to hear your feedback. And I think we will give you stuff that you won't find often. So here's an interesting one from MediaPost. Performance without cookies expected to drop, from Lori Sullivan, who I use her articles a lot. And, you know, some of the concern is that privacy issues are up. I don't know if you can see this very well, and results then are going down. It's a great balancing act. What's keeping marketers up at night? And the survey went after brands who spend between, I don't know, I think it was $10 million and $100 million a year in advertising. So big brands, it was more than 50. I don't know how many people in each brand, but 69% said they expect ad performance to drop. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to drop 69%, which was kind of hoping to hear. It means that two-thirds plus think ad performance will drop, and 77% said our brand's own first-party data will matter. But as we all know, people aren't staying up nights thinking about your brand. And so you need some kind of way to get their attention besides just your brand website or digital ads, right, going to people who already are familiar with you. You need some way to attract attention, maybe offline. And for that, mail is just perfect. 58%, they're concerned about targeting accuracy when it comes to contextual targeting. And one of the big issues is, of course, that with cookies going away, we have less information about people who are not in our first party cookie stack. If someone comes to our site, we can drop a cookie on them and kind of figure out what's up with them. But before that, we're not sure what, right? And contextual marketing was, you know, in my opinion, was invented by direct mail. That's what Claude Hopkins says in Scientific Advertising. He said 100 years ago, he said, we've got 50 years of proven track record from the direct mail guys, and so we know what works in advertising. Further, when I got started, you know, one of the things we always tested, and testing is key, we always tested lists, lots of lists. The main thing we tested was list, 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 list. Now, we would also, in that context, maybe test our offer, maybe test our headlines, our copy, pricing. There's a lot of things you can test, but one of the great things about mail is you can actually measure the causal force of that. You can actually measure the causal force of that, because when you change something, you get a differential. You can isolate causal variables, which is the scientific method that you learned in junior high, and you can do it with mail. And so on that note, let's move over to Julie Post, who has an article that says, a marketing movement's happening. Direct mail is on a hot streak. So if you're looking for the, if you're, If you're looking for the shiny new object here, look to mail. I know it's crazy. It sounds crazy. But mail is the most cutting-edge medium that's available today. That's what the brands need to hear. Not mail as, you know, just do a little mail and you say, gee, nothing much happened. Well, especially if your attribution models are last touch, because the mail drives people to your website, so website's going to get 100% of the credit. The way you track gives you the answer you want. Okay, keep that in mind. You want to get someone involved that understands that mail tells you who saw it, who engaged, and who didn't buy. It's far easier in AI and machine learning to identify factors that don't matter, to identify markets that don't work, to identify people that aren't going to buy your product than it is to figure out why some customers love you. It's in my book. I think I have a book laying around here someplace. Anyway, it's in my book. The I love you variable is very difficult to quantify. Why do some people love you and some people not? They may not even know. Or maybe because you botched up an order and made it right. Right? Or maybe it was because of something their neighbor told them. It's very difficult because most of it's anecdotal. Okay? Most of it's anomalies. Okay? But when large groups of people that you know saw your ad in mail, 100% delivery, you can track every piece, if you want to, from the U.S. Postal Service to their door. You know it got delivered, unlike digital, and you know it got seen by real people, and not just anybody in the household. You know it got seen by the decision maker, okay? The decision maker saw it, looked at it, and threw it in the trash in most cases. So when you know who didn't buy, this is the missing piece in all other media. The missing piece is we don't know who looked at it, saw it, and didn't buy. We just assume that maybe they didn't see it. They would have loved it if they would have saw it. They did. We don't know. Right? In Jeopardy, the key to teaching Watson how to play was knowing the wrong answers that it got. That's what drove their algorithm forward. They, right off the bat, they got a lot of them right. You know, they said, okay, look for the nouns, look for the negations, search on that. They get a lot of right answers. Got a lot of wrong answers. They had to look for nuance. They had to understand the questions or the answers in Jeopardy's case. It's who doesn't buy that gives you the best information. Oh, thanks. Keith just put up a link to my book. Keith, it's good to see you back here. Okay, highly recommend it. And if you send me the link, when you know, the receipt, the email confirmation, I'll send you the book, audiobook, for no charge, a $6 value, in the author's own words. I should re-record it, probably. But anyway, so some people think direct mail is too old-fashioned, but Julie says, no, millennials read their mail just as much as anybody, and that's true. Direct mail appeals to older consumers. Well, we just answered that one. And direct mail is too expensive. Well, one of the things that direct mail is great about is you know your ROI and you know your lifetime value because you can remail your customers and see what the downstream profitability is. And this case study will come up. I'm speaking on July 15th for the New York Direct Marketing Club, and I'm really excited about that. We're going to talk about a case study where we proved to a big brand ad executive how much impact mail had. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, we had a run-up last week, and I think I got a little over-the-top crazy, and they seemed to like it. So as usual, I will tell you about how great mail is. You know, it's not about the expense. It's about the return on investment. It's not just about the return on ad spend. It's about profitability. So anyway, direct mail is a place you should be looking if you're one of those brands that's staying up at night thinking about cookies. What's the one thing that's in common with GDPR, CCPA, and now Colorado CPA? Okay, and then there's a CCRA, I think it is, revision of California. What's the one thing they have in common? None of them really limit mail. So what we're able to do is we're able to mail broadly to many kinds of people, and we're able to see who doesn't want it. And over time, we learn. We learn more powerfully with more scientific force than any other media. Because those media don't know if bots are watching or bots are clicking. They don't know if your TV's on and nobody's watching. They don't know if you're watching, but you're not really paying attention. It's in the sidebar, and we've learned not to look at the sidebar. All those things are true, and you know it in your own heart, right? I keep seeing a DuckDuckGo billboard when I go down the freeway, but I can't think of the other billboards I see because I'm driving and I don't pay attention mostly. But I use DuckDuckGo, and so I'm happy to see them out in the outdoor advertising space. But they don't know how many people are paying attention when they're going by that billboard, big billboard on I-94. You don't know who isn't paying attention. In mail, 100% delivery, 100% engagement, so you know they saw it and didn't want it. And that is the key to real learning and marketing. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart.